And welcome to a very, very special episode of Sex Talk. Tonight we are, because at Sex Talk, our civic duty is our most important duty. We take our duty to the community, our community service pledge very seriously. Tonight we are devoting the show to a very special election Sex Talk. I have assembled an international panel of political analysts, celebrities, internet...
pundits.
Internet pundits, idiot savants, and...
riffraff.
And this guy that I met in the steam room, and we're all going to be talking tonight about the election, which is so incredibly intense. I came here
talking about the Canadian election for prime minister.
That's right.
Weeks,
right? Well, that and
which has been all over the news.
The premier of Toronto. Help me out here.
Mayor. Toronto's a city. At least that's what they call it up there in Canada, which probably just means a polar bear hitching rack.
So I would like to just go on the interview. We've never had a panel this esteemed before in the room, and I'd like to go on and introduce everyone. Have you decided what your name is yet?
Yeah. I'm Dr. Bilbo Baggins of the Institute for Psychosexual Research.
We're not going to be able to keep that straight.
And when I met you in the steam room, that's not the name you used. Your voice might have been muffled.
Mr. Thrusty.
Sitting next to Bilbo is Dwayne. Are you Dwayne? I'm sorry.
I'm just Dwayne.
Just Dwayne. And next to him is Chris Young of the LGLV, the Lesbian Gay...
the League of Gay and Lesbian Voters.
At http www.lglv.org. What? Why are you rolling your eyes? It's the internet. Al Gore, our next president, what is it, 49th president of the United States?
44th.
44th.
One can only hope.
invent the internet, and, you know, we have to leverage the internet whenever possible. Sharon Davis. Sharon is supposed to use your name? Oops. Whatever.
I think my mom knows by now. It's okay.
You're a voter?
I have voted in the election.
And a world target shooting champion.
And I am a registered Democrat, so that's okay.
I'm registered nonpartisan, although that was a mistake. I screwed up the form. Sorry. I just thought I would share.
Registered nonpartisan.
I have no party affiliation, which means I missed out on the primaries.
And the best of us, Dr. Sexopoulos.
Dr. Sexopoulos, that's me.
Here. So.
And Queen Bee, raconteur, and pundit of pundits. DJ Slow on
you know,
the Uptake.
Well, Slow on the Uptake, yes. I was actually going to say that tonight I think the American people really wore their hearts on their sleeves tonight. Hillary, Al, GW, they all really sort of showed America what they're truly about. I think I should just go by DJ Corey tonight.
Wow.
Let people know what I'm really about.
A remarkable show of honesty in a cynical age.
Frankness.
Now, have you actually ever revealed your true identity on the radio before? I think this could be a first for our radio listening audience. Because, you know, it's been a mystery all these, 19 years you've been on the air?
Well, you know, I mean, at first when I was...
a mystery wrapped in an enigma coated in lube.
When we were on in the 50s and the FBI was actually investigating me, I had to be sort of covert.
Right.
But now, you know, I knew this show would outlive J. Edgar Hoover.
Not his dresses.
So, without further ado, what the hell is going on out there? I just checked the website. CNN was saying Florida, Gore was taking Florida, now they're saying it's too close to call. Are they just being nice? What is that?
Well, according to the NPR report I'd heard, so originally Florida was said, it was said that Florida had been taken by Gore, but since then they've redacted that and said that the counting isn't complete and it's very close, so they haven't. As of the last time I checked at 10:50 p.m., I hadn't said either way.
And I think it really has to be stated that whoever carries Florida is almost for sure going to be the victor.
Right. According to Bilbo's extensive supercomputer numerical calculations, which he did, I guess, on Corey's back in the steam room, he says whoever takes Florida takes the country.
Well, it's a good chance.
You have
because
an unstoppable army of the geriatrics.
Well, if you combine California and Florida, you've got 70-some votes right there.
Well, if you combine anything in California, you're going to have something votes.
I mean, a lot of the other states are like
you have 80 if you combine Florida
and
things
like that. So,
I didn't mention the hidden eighth person in the room, which is our producer Alan, who's going to be on the web continuously throughout this program.
And right now, from Florida, with 72% of precincts voting,
It's Bush leading 50% to 48%.
Oh,
so it's close, but recently there tends to be skews in the later election polling results where larger areas, more densely populated areas, tend to take a little longer. In fact, Dade County in the south of Florida, which was supposed to be one of Gore's better areas, was just recently started releasing all of their results. So it the gap has been tightened. It was, I think, Bush up by about 10 in Florida, as few as about an hour ago.
Wow.
So it's getting a lot closer. Michigan, Gore is starting to pull ahead in the popular vote there with a decent number of the precincts voting are in, and Pennsylvania's up by about 10% Gore over Bush. So those are safe. Other close states are Wisconsin, where right now Bush is leading by 1%, with 30% of the precincts voting, 48% to 47%. And it looks like out west, it's tied right now in New Mexico with Bush, with Gore having a slight edge. California voting just closed. Oregon voting just closed, and Washington voting just closed.
So I've heard that Oregon and Washington are going to go for Bush, right?
Oregon is still a toss-up because Nader's been taking away a lot of the environmental vote there.
Right. I heard actually the same thing true of Wisconsin. That's one of Nader's strongholds in the country, and it was expected to go Democratic, but evidently it sounds close.
Washington as well.
Yeah.
Washington will probably go for Gore, though. I mean, that's what the late projections were. And also, there are a lot of people, a lot of the mayor supporters in Washington were waiting for the last minute to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since they waited till the last minute, they probably decided to vote for Gore.
I'm curious to see what, just as an idle question, like what the voter turnout percentage is going to be like this year, if it's going to be much, much higher than average.
Well, they've been saying it's very high.
I mean, earlier in the season, the pundits, not us, of course, because we're smart, were saying, oh, it'll be another low turnout year, maybe the lowest ever. Apathy is palpable. But, you know, with such a tight race, if nothing else, I think the sheer closeness of it all, thrusting, penetrating tightness of the
Some groups are making a real difference. One is the black vote is much stronger than it has been before. The NAACP has put a lot of effort into getting African American people out to vote. And
for which side? Or just in general?
For Gore.
For Gore.
For Gore. Overwhelmingly for Gore. And also, it appears that the union vote in certain areas is making a big difference, particularly in Michigan. Even though there seems to be a decline in unions, they came out really strong in certain states, and that's set to be having quite an effect as well.
So I'm not hearing much about sex here.
Well, I think we'll get to that in a second. There's one other issue we should talk about, which is the Senate.
Sex.
Actually, I want to get my producer to fix – I have to fix my microphone, so do your producer thing for a second.
Yeah, the Senate, I think there's – looks
similar. Here in Pennsylvania?
No, in the country. I think there's a good odds that it's going to be 50-50 in the Senate, Democrat-Republican at this point. Because
mm-hmm. The Republicans were only up, what, 4 seats in the Senate?
Right. And I'm betting that the Republicans win the Washington state election.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats win Washington and Michigan. And I think at this point that would be enough to put them 50-50.
Interesting. Mm.
Well, what do you think about the role of women in this election? Because I've been seeing more pushing for women to be voters and the emphasis of being when more women vote, more Democrats win. I'm wondering, that may not necessarily be true in Pennsylvania, but...
Well, it was true in Florida, they say, and that's part of the reason why they... Why they initially gave Florida to Gore is because they noticed a high woman voter turnout, and according to the exit polls, women were overwhelmingly for Gore. Hmm. So that could be – I think that there are a lot of groups that will be able to claim they were a deciding factor because it's so close that if any one of these groups disappeared, it could move it one way or another.
So I'm going to take Dr. Sexopoulos' suggestion. Sharon, you're a level 9 psychic. I know that Dwayne and Chris are level 7.
And you yourself are OT5 clear, right?
And so here's a quick – bringing it back to sex just for a moment. The outcome is not quite clear yet. Either guy could win, I suppose.
God forbid.
Looking forward to the year 2004, how will my life be different if, God forbid, George Bush wins as opposed to Al Gore?
Sex-wise.
So the question is in two ways. You know, how much effect do you think the president can have both sort of executively and yet
personally?
And also sort of in terms of affecting the mood of the nation, you know, all those things.
And how it'll affect you personally.
And then like, would you be more likely to score with Gore or Bush? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, for example, last week I was playing volleyball here on campus, and the captain of the team was a hottie. Mm-hmm. And then I found his picture in an old issue of the Tartan, and I've taken that picture and cut it out, and it's now on my wall at my home. Stuck to the wall. I don't know if you saw what movie am I thinking of? Where after,
Silence of the Lambs?
After the guy
Seven
masturbates, he sticks the picture to the wall.
Oh, with, happiness.
Thank you.
The postcard of Turkey, in fact, which I thought was particularly amusing.
Will I be more likely to have sex with this person under Bush or Gore, ultimately?
I think we're more likely to have sex with under Gore, because I think Gore will enable, you know, gay rights to go on much, you know, as a movement, the gay movement to progress much better than Bush will. The Republicans will, you know, try to throw roadblocks, you know, in front of gay rights.
I think
Dwayne was first, actually.
You know, I was leaving.
The question was posed to Sharon, but I mean, I want everyone to.
I'd like to hear what the guys have to say first, and then I'll come back with some witty retort, I'm sure.
Well, as I was leaving the men's locker room just a few minutes ago, a very cute guy said he was leaving the country if Bush wins. So there will definitely be less opportunities for sex if Bush wins.
But what about Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Well, he's from Hollywood. Everyone in Hollywood, except for Charlton Heston, is a Democrat, as far as I can tell.
I should hope. I think that there are many issues that will be affected in our country if the Republicans gain more power. And I think that there'll be a general climate of really depression that will come upon a lot of people. I really do, especially many people in our community, because I think once again there will be a lot of efforts focused on trying to maintain the rights that we have already gotten and trying to fight initiatives that want to encroach upon our rights.
Well, I think that that's really key, especially at the state level. I think that if the Republicans maintain the state house and the Senate, that you will see more legislative attacks against the lesbian and gay community.
An important thing to remember also is that Governor Bush is governor of the state of a state where it's illegal to own six or more dildos. So that would definitely have a big effect on your life.
On Corey's life.
Yeah. I mean, the racks upon racks and the glass cases filled with devices of impalement, they'd have to go under a Bush administration, I'm afraid.
I can't tell this is your fantasy or mine. by the way,
I have been drinking heavily.
By the way, if you would like to call in to the station, you're joking, of course. And so,
of course,
if you'd like to call in to our special election hotline, the phone number
this
here
is hot.
We've got a bank of operators standing by at 621-WRCT. That's area code 412-621-9728, and we've got a caller.
Wow.
Welcome to the show, caller. First, you must state your political affiliation.
A radical.
Excellent.
Oh, right.
Excellent. Did you have a question, comment, or concern to share with us?
I'm a fan of the show. I listen to it as I go to bed, actually, every week. So
wow.
Long-time listener, first-time caller?
Pardon?
Long-time listener, first-time caller was
yes.
The comment.
Excellent.
Yes. I always meant to call in. And I was just commenting, I was thinking of, I was watching the turnout earlier and watching in school the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We did a mock poll, and sadly it all turned out Bush, which was bad. But
this is a poll of a class you're in?
Through the entire school.
Oh, okay.
And I do think, though, that Gore should probably win, and so I think all will turn out fine for your personal little sex life there.
So what about your sex life? Do you think it'll be better under a Bush or under a Gore administration?
Oh, Gore.
Yeah?
Oh, Gore.
Oh, sexpert.
Well, I have a theory of why sex may be better for Corey, and as well as others under a Gore administration rather than a
worse,
Bush,
right?
administration.
Is that the theory sort of that I'm
implying? No. Well, not that it couldn't be worse, although maybe you never know. I think people will be more comfortable to be out and to be open about themselves and to be happy about who they are. And there are more supportive institutions that will develop and be funded and exist under a Gore administration than I think the Bush administration. I think for at least for Corey's sex life, I think he'll have more options to meet people who are not just hiding in steam rooms. So I think that...
Well, they're not hiding. Believe me, they're
They're blending in with the wallpaper, but it doesn't work. The color coordination just isn't there.
I guess my feeling also is that the Bush and the majority of Republicans tend to feel beholden to the purveyors of moral purity like the Christian Coalition.
Unlike Gore and Lieberman and their pandering to
I think that they have more Democrats keeping them in check. So I think that we're safer with Democrats than Republicans.
The Clinton-Gore administration hasn't been particularly gay-friendly, though, right? Let's not forget the atrocious don't ask, don't tell, we'll kick you out anyway policy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't think that they should be seen as the ideal candidates. It's just that I think Bush and his alliances are so hellish that, you know, they look pretty good.
Do you think that Gore will actually keep anything that he's said?
I think certain things he will. He will push ENDA. I feel certain about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That one I can pretty much assure you he will push. I don't know that he'll go that much further than that, though. Democrats will.
You have a comment, Sharon?
I don't think it's just the matter of the president. It's also other departments within the administration, like Health and Human Services, like the Justice Department, like immigration, certainly the Supreme Court. Right. For example, within HHS, the report Healthy People 2010 came out and for the first time included sexual orientation as a category for which they have seen in many studies a higher incidence of certain health-related problems as well as other groups or other issues that have been mentioned where there has been a higher incidence of things. And this was the first time that gay and lesbian people have been acknowledged as a legitimate group deserving of some kind of recognition for some of the issues that they're facing, such as depression, suicide, other kinds of high rates of things. And there would be probably more funding, at least going towards our community to try to address and alleviate some of these problems. And this was really the first time this has ever, ever happened, where it was even in print from a government agency.
So could I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Are there any kind of gay, lesbian legal issues which are working their way towards the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I think you're going to see family issues coming to the fore, custody, adoption, and...
You mean anything specific do you know of that's... Because this has been kind of one of the big bugbears
most
that the Democrats have whipped out, right? That three or four – well, we lost our caller. Three or four Supreme Court justices could be nominated by the next president.
Right. Well, I think that if you see it, if it comes to pass that a state actually legalizes marriage, then you're going to see a test of full faith and credit in one of the states that has said they won't recognize. I think that that's much more likely. Some of the other issues – are just within the jurisdiction of the states and probably won't rise to the federal level.
And just another issue, too, that's very important is that Bowers v. Hardwick will be overturned if Gore gets to appoint justices. If Bush gets to appoint justices, it will not be overturned.
Although Gore did vote for confirmation of both Scalia and Clarence Thomas. So his Supreme Court record is not spotless by any means.
I really don't agree with this type of attack on Gore because unfortunately –
Oh, this is an
Gore,
attack, right?
But no, there's an implication here that Gore went along with something when it came to Scalia, which he really didn't. That Scalia won 98-0, so all the Democratic senators are basically had their hands dirty in terms of masculinity. I would prefer they showed some spine, but you know, I don't think very many of the fact that that all 98 of them voted for Scalia means that if they were president, they would appoint someone that's anything like Scalia. I mean,
For the Clarence Thomas case, the confirmation was fairly close. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I do know that 14 Democrats, including Gore, jumped the fence, you know, and voted for Clarence, pubic hair, Thomas.
Well, I think this should. I mean, this is part of the reason why Nader has the type of momentum he does is because people don't like it, people in either party. The problem is that Gore is clearly better than Bush, and really that's what this election is about. It's not really necessarily is one of these guys an angel for us, but, you know, who is a better? It doesn't mean that one's perfect.
However, personally, I think the election all comes down to who has the hottest kids. Right now, so on the one side we have the delightful Gore daughters.
But you have that Bush's.
I was going to add, and of course, Cheney's hot lesbian daughter.
I just have to, as a matter of decorum, I just have to apologize to the caller. It sounds like we lost you. If you wanted to call back with more questions, comments, or concerns, please do call back. Also, I wanted to collect some very basic. You intrigued me by your comment about being a longtime listener of the show. That's the second longtime listener that's come up in as many weeks.
Wow, both of them.
And so I'm shocked. So if you could call back either to share with us more questions or at least just to talk to our producer, I've been trying to collect very basic, very anonymous kind of statistical data about our listeners.
And we are men, so it's expected that we are not going to cater. Wouldn't cater to your needs. We would be selfish. So if you can give us a second chance, baby, please, baby, baby.
The whole radical female thing leaves me cold. do call us back. The phone number is 621-9728, area code 412. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please proceed. Oh, all the way. I'm supposed to mention our website every time.
Sure.
Sextalk.wrct.org.
Well, I was just talking about the sexaliciousness of men and or women that are moving into the White House.
Bush has attractive children? I haven't seen no.
No, I didn't mention that.
Isn't it? I think it's his nephew.
Is it? Yes, yeah. He's got definitely.
Yeah, hot and hunky.
Jeb's son is a babe. He was in one of people's most eligible attractive men or something.
Yeah. The child of a Jeb is actually attractive.
Yeah, because
you'd be destined to be missing teeth.
It's
and
because he's a hybrid.
Dog.
Because Jeb married that kind of Latina woman. And so he's very hot. He's one of people's most eligible bachelors or something.
Yeah. So it diluted some of Jeb's cracker genes. Sorry.
I think we should go back to what you said about Mary Cheney. I think this brings up a very important issue.
Although according to her mom, of course, she's not gay. La, 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 I can't hear you.
Which
la,
is
la,
actually
la,
very
la.
Interesting, her mother saying that she's not gay, because her mother is like a woman who's written a book about the truth, and she basically writes to justify basically a fundamentalist understanding of the truth, you know, in some pretty vague sense, fundamentalist Christianity, original tenet of the Constitution or that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, you know, the truth in some literal sense is very important to this woman. She claims it's like, you know, all important. Then she turns around on national TV, lies about her daughter.
I don't know if it's very interesting. So denial, but I cut Cheryl.
No, she did, in fact, lie, because she said that we don't know that my daughter's a lesbian. In fact, you know, it's been on websites. She did know, you know.
And part of the reason why she has the job that she does is because she's a lesbian and she knows how to appeal to her community. I think it illustrates a very unfortunate point that we have seen again and again of the children, the gay and lesbian children of Republican people in our country, such as Phyllis Schlafly, the Mossbachers. I'm sure that there will be many, many, many more. Newt. Well, it wasn't his daughter, but it was his like half-sister, Candace. That they're willing to be tolerated as long as they don't, you know, rock the boat and as long as they don't really confront. And I think I heard an excellent editorial by Candace Gingrich concerning this issue of that Mary Cheney has basically been eclipsed from the family. I mean, has anybody seen since the convention, has anybody seen anything about Mary Cheney?
No, and I think it all goes to the general tendency by political fundamentalists Christians that the truth is really great only when it falls on their side, though. Family is good when it falls into the structure that they want and so on and so forth. But when it goes outside of that, they find some way to ignore it or discount it. But, and it's unfortunate.
To be fair also, or just to play the devil's advocate slightly, it could be a choice on Mary Cheney's part that she wants to have nothing to do with this, right? She could be just be a woman who wants to have a private
life.
Well,
I think...
And doesn't want to be like kind of the... You know, gay daughter of the Republican
She is a lesbian to the gay and lesbian community for Coors Beer. The reason why she's demurred is for her father's sake because she values a family. But a good family wouldn't ask their daughter to sublimate who she is for the sake of some, you know, political ambition or business deal.
Do we know that she ever came out to her family?
Yeah, it was just. Do you remember when it was discussed? It was discussed back in the Bush era.
I read an article about it early. I guess it was after the convention, and the article was kind of coy about that point, whether she's actually formally, like at the dinner table, said, "I'm gay, pass the potatoes," right? She has been living with a woman for 7 years, I think, and they own a house together. And, you know, she works, for Coors Brewing Company as the gay lesbian community outreach person. So, like, the signs are there in huge 10-story-high neon. But whether she's actually come out to her family, this article didn't say. One of the things it did mention, though, is she's always been much closer to her father than her mother. And this article was saying that's maybe the reason why her mom was like, oh, no, my daughter isn't gay. Because if she's not close, maybe this isn't something she's wanted to share with her mother, especially if her mother is vehemently anti-gay or very religious or something.
Well, she's got to be completely off on another planet as well.
Denial
ain't just
a river, baby.
That's probably quite true about Mary Jane. Yeah.
But nevertheless, I believe that she said that she would work for her father's campaign, right? Didn't she say that?
Yeah, she did.
So,
Well, you know, would be a very intense personal choice for her. Like,
yes.
Is my family... Consider the following scenario, right? If she campaigned very hard against her father... or against the Republican Party because of the way she felt, like that could alienate her forever from her parents. And that's an awful big thing to ask from somebody, you know. So she could have had this kind of decision to make. Do I want to basically never talk to my parents again and make this political point, or should I?
Well, I'm sure that she's been in quite an unenviable position,
yeah.
and I don't think anybody here can quite judge her exactly, but it does point to a big dilemma within the Republican Party. And as more people come out, and even Charles Sacharidi's son, who works within the Clinton administration, I think Charles Sacharidi is one of the psychiatrists who wrote extremely homophobic tracts about the fundamental issues that from which homosexuality developed. He was one of those sort of orthodox psychiatrists who theorized the kind of pathology of homosexuality. His son, I think his name is Richard, worked within the Clinton administration as a liaison to the gay and lesbian community. And I think more and more children of staunch Republicans, conservative Republicans, are going to come out and challenge this. And I think eventually this has to be good for the American public because even though it creates great stress, I'm sure, and embarrassment for some people, what can you do? I mean, it shows that we are everywhere. We are part of the American family. And there are many, many parents who love us.
But I think it also brings up something else. What you brought up was something else about her position with the family. As I think about it, is that really a lot of lesbian gay people end up in a less public but very similar situation of whether to let it be known to people outside of the family that they are lesbian or gay and so on and so forth. So, you know, you take a date to your Aunt Mildred's thingamagummy or whatever. And, yeah, I can't think of, you know, and that type of thing. So, I mean, well, okay.
Well, I had a friend actually to relate a small story that helps me maybe gain some insight on this. I had a friend who's dad ran for mayor in Pittsburgh. He's now a judge. And she, like, was out to dinner with friends. She was roughly our age, like early 30s, late 20s. Was out at dinner with friends, got drunk, of course, drinking, having a good time. Right? And a photographer took a picture of her with her friends, like, being your standard having a good time 28-year-old, right? And this had the potential to cause immense embarrassment to her dad. And so her social life disappeared. Like, she just couldn't do anything anymore because she was so much – even just running – a candidate running for mayor in a rinky-dink town like Pittsburgh, suddenly she was enough in the public eye that that caused her to, like, pull back her social life and so forth. And she wasn't even doing anything, quote, controversial, like being a lesbian. And so – you know, there could be even this non-political thought going through someone's head, like Mary Cheney, like just that she doesn't want to be in the public eye, she doesn't want to be a poster child for anything. It not even thinking of that as a political decision, right? Although that would be hard for her to do considering her job. But
well, I'm pretty sure that the campaign had a lot to do with it as well.
But I also just wanted to mention that I know the daughter of somebody who ran for mayor, and that makes me famous.
Oh, okay.
In a very small, sad way.
What are some other issues that we are concerned about, given the potential outcome of the election? Or could I just raise that issue?
I mean, I'm extremely happy to think that one of the writers for Futurama's dad may be in the White House. So one of Gore's daughters is a writer for Futurama. I just wanted to bring that up.
Really?
Yes, Kristen.
Yeah. Kristen Gore?
Yes.
Cool.
Isn't that great?
I have another question. This is maybe tainted topic, but it's something I from the Psychosexual Institute that I keep on wondering about, which is, like, why do so many, you know, white straight boys, you know, want to be all for Bush and Cheney and, you know, be all Republican? I mean, what's in it for them? And you see, I don't really think the payoff for them is, like, some economic payoff. I mean, I think that, you know, that they're not necessarily, you know, going to their own self-interest or voting their pocketbook. I think it's some type of symbolism of them being provider by voting Republican, and, you know, some way increases their penis size or something.
Well, I think part of it is tax cuts, actually. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I figured out the tax cut calculator. I use a tax cut calculator on the web to figure out, even with my pathetic, sad, robotic salary, like, I would get a fairly significant tax cut, and I make $15,000 a year under the Bush plan. Like, now if I graduated and got a real job, right, it was making $80,000 or $90,000 a year, I'd get thousands and thousands of dollars back. And if you value yourself cheaply, that's a pretty nice chunk of change to vote for a dumb guy.
Well, I really think that's it, because, you know, a lot of the straight guys I've talked with who are voting for Bush don't think about this. As a matter of fact, they were saying that, well, the Democrats interfere with your life and the Republicans don't. I said, wait a second. They want to run your sex life. They want to tell you what religion you're supposed to worship. How can you interfere more personally and more intimately with somebody else's life? But they don't think about it because they're already Christian and they're straight.
Right.
So, you know, and they have no imagination.
Right.
So to them it's not an issue. And I think that's part of – I don't think a lot of people see the kind of personal freedom being threatened the way
Some governments want to take away dildos. Other governments want to take away guns, I guess.
So as he asked this question, he's saying stop kicking the stand.
Sorry, I was trying to be subtle about that. But
sorry about that.
Well, you blew it.
So because I'm far more perceptive than the rest of you, I think I know the answer to your question, and this is what it is. I mean, so we all know that, you know, the standard image of Republicans, white, straight, Republicans is, you know, it's this sort of frat boy image. And we all know that they all have suppressed homosexual desires. They get together. They do all this kind of male bonding. And there's an endless list of male bonding. I mean, even not in the college paradigm, these Republicans get together and they have all kinds of repressed sexuality. And I think they're threatened by the fact that Gore would actually force them to confront their hidden homosexual tendencies.
There's a book called Society and the Healthy Homosexual, and no, seriously, I think what you just said is illuminated within this book about why, for example, he thinks that a lot of people who are gay bashers or who attack gay men specifically have repressed or latent homosexual desires that they really cannot deal with. And then they project this onto others. And I think there may be something to this. I don't think it's all because they're repressed homosexuals, as Corey would love to imagine. But that I think part of it is identifying with the oppressor kind of thing, or wanting to identify with those who have power. And this does really appeal to a lot of men, and I'm sure some women as well.
Well, in my experience with Republican politicals, though, they are absolutely wild in their off hours that, you know, that nobody sees, and the Democrats tend to be pretty prudish, in all honesty. You know, so it's all kind of weird that way.
I was watching people, you know, walking on the streets downtown today, and they were like, I mean, I wasn't out for very long, like 15 minutes, and I saw twice, you know, these kind of like young, you know, straight white boys yell at the Gore supporters, you know, really derisive things, and the Gore supporters that they were yelling at happened to be all female, you know, and I really did think that there were, these episodes were not some aberration, but part of a greater pattern. It's not, because, you know, you can't imagine there being like, and there were, in fact, I saw, you know, white male Gore supporters downtown, but they weren't the ones who got yelled at, or at least not in my very small sample size. I mean, I do think that there's some form of, like, sexual anger happening in the politics there.
So how does Harry Brown and Ralph Nader work into this?
Harry Brown is on another planet where everybody does exactly what they should do, you know, and you never have to do anything. Harry Brown is completely irreal. I don't think the strict libertarian philosophy makes any sense when you're talking with humans. It only works with angels.
I don't think angels would want a strict libertarian system either, though. I mean, you know, angels would probably want national parks and governments, you know.
I think Ralph Nader, though, is the conduit for all the frustration people feel with the way government works in general right now. He's taken the place of Ross Perot, I'd say. So I think that's largely where he works in. The problem with Nader is that I don't think he's really very sincere on his concern for, and I could be wrong, but he doesn't strike me as sincere on his concern for civil rights and environmental issues, because he doesn't have a history of that.
He's very serious about environmental issues. He basically single-handedly founded EPA and OSHA, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. He's perhaps the most important environmental activist ever in the history of the country.
I think that is ridiculous.
Not to slap
you down. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he has not been a particularly good friend of the environmental movement. The environmental movement has, you know, the Sierra Club and all the environmental organizations have denounced his presidency. They do not want their supporters voting for the man. They do not think that the Green Party is any more environmental than the Democratic Party. So I really can't accept that.
I find it amazing that anybody could compare the Greens and the Democrats, like, just considering the Greens platform, although admittedly Nader has not signed off on the Green Party platform because, frankly, a lot of it is insane.
I think that the Greens just wanted a high-profile candidate, and that's kind of what I'm saying, is I think it's a marriage of convenience more than a true match. And the Greens have a very strong civil rights plank, and yet Nader referred to gay rights as gonadal politics not very long ago. So, and that's why it's pretty divisive argument within the community. And before I don't want to let this show end without saying that not all Republicans are horrible. I mean, there are some very supportive ones too.
Lincoln.
So I don't want to, huh?
Lincoln, for example.
Well, Barbara Hafer, the state treasurer, state representative Lita Cohen, out of Montgomery County.
James K. Polk.
Zachary Taylor,
my favorite.
Okay. they're in a minority, but I just don't want them to feel put upon.
If any of you do feel put upon, you can call into the show and give us a piece of your Republican mind. The phone number here, once again, is area code 412-621-9728. That is WRCT. Or if you're on campus and want to call in, you can call us at just 8-WRCT.
Too many numbers confuse them.
Okay. 621-9728.
If we've learned anything from this election, it's lie to your constituency and keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Keep the lies simple.
I have another thing to bring up, which I think is actually fairly important for the gay community, which is that, unfortunately, I think one of our best allies in the Senate lost his re-election bid tonight. Chuck Robb, Democrat, senator from Virginia, one of the, you know, best, you know, he voted against the Defense of Marriage Act. And unfortunately, I think the problem is he probably lost the vote margin. It was small enough that the homophobia of the Virginia populace probably made the difference.
This brings up an issue about, you said Virginia, you said another state that begins with V, mm-hmm. Vermont. sorry. Was there, I believe that there was a referendum on the ballot concerning their same-sex marriage.
I don't think that's correct.
No, I thought that there was going to be something to that. I'm sorry, I've just embarrassed myself.
I have to suppress it. I mean, I'd like to get to that.
Go ahead.
We got a caller, and the caller is always coming
excellent.
First.
Sorry.
Hello, caller. Thank you for calling in.
Hey.
Hi. Do you have a question or comment or concern?
Yeah. So earlier, just about a minute ago, one of you criticized Nader for his stating to make a stand on gay rights, and I was interested what sort of rights you wanted to see implemented, our system.
Wow, that's a bag of worms.
Well, I mean,
start the wish list now.
Yeah, well, I would say that Federal Non-Discrimination Act would be a good start. Hate crimes laws, and
don't we have something in some sort of act already?
No.
So you currently are allowed to employ discriminate who you employ based on sexual preference.
There's no federal law about this, but I believe like there's some states have state laws.
There is,
right?
I think, two states, Wisconsin and
no, not Wisconsin.
No, there's like 10 states.
Who was it? 11.
You can speak into the microphone.
There are 11 states
in various amounts. Oh, some just employment, some in public accommodations, and so forth. And there are about 5 cities in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that have some sort of non-discrimination law, which will cover either housing or employment and public accommodations, but there's nothing blanket. So, say, if you were to move to Wilkinsburg, you wouldn't be protected, but you are protected within the city of Pittsburgh.
Hmm. Okay.
I think the really important part of the agenda, though, is actually gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think the other important part is I guess, schools and how people are taught about sexuality and homosexuality. I think those are really the two important ones. I mean, because in some sense, like, you know, discrimination, I mean, that happens. It's a bad thing. It's good to have these laws to redress that. But that's not a really very positive thing. What we really want are really positive things, that we really want gay marriage as soon as possible, and sensible education of our gay children, and sensible education of the straight children, how to deal with the gay children.
But realistically, I don't think we'll see any federal motion on gay marriage within the next 4 years.
And certainly the president has nothing to say about that issue.
Right.
Well, it can veto it if it was passed.
Marriage is a state issue, yeah. Not a federal issue.
Right.
What's the desire to have gay marriage instituted?
Well, I think the thing about gay marriage isn't so much, well, it depends on who you are, but I think from a practical standpoint, there are certain types of benefits that accrue. Primarily, it gives you automatic recognition at a hospital,
right,
to be able to be there if your other half is in critical condition to be able to visit them. It, you know, pertains to inheritance. It pertains to tax. It pertains to a whole slew of federal and state and local entitlements and benefits and obligations as well between two people that don't exist otherwise and cannot be replicated through contract law.
Hey, we want the marriage penalty, dude.
But this brings up an interesting...
Take both sides, good and bad.
The two of you bring up an interesting point, and kind of one of the, I don't know whether it's real or not, but kind of one of the stated dichotomies between the Democrat and Republican parties, right? The Republicans claim that they're more interested in state-by-state decisions on issues. Like they say, the federal government should not make laws about, say, gay marriage. The federal law, federal government should not make laws about the environment. This should all be done on a local basis. You know, it's the classic federalism argument. And so, I mean, one could ask, like, is it best that this thing is mandated by the federal government? You know, do we want the federal government defining what a correct marriage is? I realize they've already kind of done that, but...
Well, you know, I think for purposes of tax returns on a lot of federal purposes, we could have a federal marriage that's not necessarily recognized by the state governments. That, you know, that you know, we could have Alabama refusing to recognize gay marriage at the same time, you know, when it comes to, you know, federal things like tax returns, a recognition by the government.
I mean, that's already the case, right? For example, Alabama is a good example because up until very recently, like the last couple of weeks, it was illegal for white people and black people to be married to each other in Alabama. This was an unenforced law that was illegal, you know, and in conflict with lots of other laws. But in some sense, these marriages, in this odd way, weren't legally recognized in Alabama yet. Black and white people.
It was actually declared unconstitutional in 1969.
Right,
it was just sitting around there, right?
Yeah.
But the idea being that these people still paid taxes, were still recognized as married federally, right? So take a federal...
They were recognized by the state, too. They had to be because the state could not recognize them because of the Supreme Court...
decision of 69.
Decision. So they had, even though it was on the books, it couldn't be enforced, the licenses were filed and not challenged.
I think it's important to note that we don't really need marriage in order to have the benefits of marriage. That exists, for example, in Vermont under the name civil unions. And they're not marriages. They're not recognized by the federal government.
And you don't get the federal benefits, so that's not
completely
true.
But the point here is not that they need marriage in Vermont. What they need is simply for the federal government to recognize civil unions for the purposes of tax benefits and other federal benefits.
Right.
Okay.
But can you really buy that argument, though? I mean, like you know, if it's a civil union and a marriage, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, if they're the same thing for all practical purposes, then, you know, are we playing a word game?
90% of, you know, arguments in this world are kind of semantic differences, right? And it could make a world of difference to religious people who are opposed to gay men getting married that, oh, it's a civil union, it's not a marriage.
Which is a weird thing because they don't object to Buddhists getting married or Hindus or Wiccans or, you know.
Well, they have sex.
They certainly don't recognize those marriages either. So, I you know.
Yeah, Carl, have another question?
Additionally has a religious connotation, so they're probably more sensitive to that.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Said matrimony has a religious connotation, so they're more sensitive to that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it could be kind of a wording issue.
Yeah, except for how come they don't object to atheists getting married?
Well,
it's a religious connotation that they have an inconsistency.
I'm not saying it's rational.
okay.
There are devil worshippers. Sorry.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean,
there are certainly lesbian and gay people who do not want to get married, but would like to be in civil unions for the sake of all the benefits. And they might not want to be married because they might not want to be associated with an institution that has historically involved the oppression of women.
But there's also another issue, and that is what we're called love. And part of it is, I know that we'd love to talk about benefits and equal rights and equal protections. And certainly these are very important, especially for those who've been in situations where the relationship was totally denied when a lover was in the hospital or had died. And it was as if the relationship never even existed. It was never recognized by the family or any kind of official institution or government agency. And if you've been with somebody for 10, 15 years and pretend like you never even had a relationship, that is totally ridiculous. Part of what we're trying to do is develop a community that sees a sense of a future for itself and has a advanced sense of self-esteem, and we're trying to feel that we are entitled to have relationships that are recognized, that we are capable of having loving relationships.
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you mean by advanced sense of self-esteem?
Well, I'm talking about that people can feel like they're worthwhile people, that they can have a future, that they can have a happy life, that they can have a fulfilling life, that they can find love, that they can be with somebody if they want to, and that their relationship means something to them and that other people will take it seriously.
If I could object just one real quick. I've been with my other half for 13 years, and I don't feel any need for a public recognition for my self-esteem. Some people might, but I think that that's a personal thing, not a...
I guess I'm looking at, for young people. And
go ahead. I was going to say, if I can just jump in here. I didn't want to interrupt the flow of conversation, but we have two more callers on the line, actually, with only 5 minutes remaining. So if we could say goodbye to our thoughtful and considerate caller
and
say hello to other callers. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. And
that's good.
Is the next caller on the air?
Hello?
Hello. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Not necessarily a question so much. I'm actually from Vermont. Hello?
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a few points, though, about what happened in Vermont with that Civil Union Act.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting how it went through because it was actually not a popular decision amongst the people of Vermont. It was polling indicated that it was actually about 45% supporting it. And so this election, when it came around, a lot of people were actually quite upset about this and voted against the incumbent governor, who was at the time the most popular governor in the nation, or at one time was.
Didn't that governor get reelected?
Yeah, by a narrow margin. He had won the past couple of elections by the biggest margin in the country. And a lot of people were upset, myself included. I actually support the Civil Union Act, but I was upset that they didn't bring it to a referendum in the state. And a lot of other people were upset about that as well. People who supported the measure were quite upset that they hadn't actually brought it to the people and didn't let us make the decision.
Wasn't it directed by the Supreme Court, though?
On the basis of individual rights, not something that should be decided by the collective?
I'm actually not sure about that, but most people were pretty upset because a lot of the state representatives were actually they took kind of like an ego trip thing about it, and they went through and they were all toasting the fact that they had made this historic legislation, and a lot of people took that as a slap in the face, that they took it as more of an ego thing than actually.
I think you're mischaracterizing the Democratic legislatures and the. In the House and Senate of Vermont. I think that a lot of them were very honest and good men that you're kind of, and women, and I don't think that's a fair attack on them.
And some Republicans as well, I mean,
often, like, and although this comparison might be considered a bit pretentious, like, often big civil rights movements are unpopular. Like, consider the civil rights movement of, like, black people in the 60s. Like, that wasn't a popular issue at all in the United States, and that was happening. Yet it was something that did kind of have to be forced down America's throat, and we're a better country, a better people, both ethically and morally.
Well,
I
think my point more than anything on this, and I think what the people of Vermont were upset with, was that we didn't get the chance to take it to a referendum.
You know,
and I think that's something that we should be allowing the people to have more of a say in what happens, because I think if you give the people the chance, they will make the right decision.
If there had been a referendum on the civil rights movement in the 60s, it would have been voted down heavily in the South.
As a matter of fact, this really brings up the whole idea behind Alex de Tocqueville's concern about the tyranny of the majority. There need to be certain basic rights for each citizen that are guaranteed regardless of how the majority feels. And I would argue that, in fact, equal treatment is one of those.
So if we can end it on that excellent note and get to our last caller. I'm sorry, caller. Shut up then. Sorry. I'm sorry, caller. I didn't mean to do that.
We thought we had two callers in the line. We only had one.
So thank you for calling. Some of my nutrient fluid must have splashed on my circuits.
Did he say he was calling from Vermont or just hailed from Vermont?
Hailed from Vermont.
I have a listener in Vermont.
No,
I think he was from Vermont. Do we have time for last-minute election returns?
I don't know if our cyborg producer has been keeping up, but I'd like to know what's going on.
It looks like Bush is going to take Florida, and with that – we'll only need one other state. He's very, very close in both Illinois and Wisconsin and Arkansas. So unless Florida turns around, 81% of the precincts are voting, that'll be it.
Some lesbian and gay friends of mine think that a 4 years of a Republican administration will be a really good thing for the nation because it'll get us all involved again.
Like a nice frosty enema of the public in some sense.
Or maybe we'll just move.
There actually are some very good Democratic candidates for 2004. I really like John Edwards of North Carolina. I mean, he certainly wouldn't pass any Naderite purity test, but, you know, he would – if he were elected, he'd be reelected. People would like him. He'd be very popular, you know.
But isn't the reaction all too gay right now? I mean, in the face of victory, no one's upset. We're already justifying the next election. I mean,
well, I'm still hoping that Gore is going to pull it off. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a rather ill mood tomorrow.
Okay. And we picked up some Senate seats in the. So, I mean, I don't think we should be in despair. I really think there are good candidates for, you know, 2004. The worst thing that could happen is if Bush wins and Nader gets more than 5%. Then that probably means we're really screwed. But, you know, otherwise we sent really good odds of winning in 2004. So – well, let's not despair.
I'm concerned about during the next 2 years if we end up with a Republican state Senate and House and the type of sneaky legislative attacks they'll pull off just like they did the past session. You know, I mean.
Well, it'll open people's eyes.
Well, it didn't open them this time.
I keep on thinking, you know, like Reagan, he was an awful man who was elected in 1980. He won basically by a landslide in the second election. So, I mean, we can't say that, you know, because we elect someone bad that you know, that people will wise up, because sometimes they haven't wised up at all. This is WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM, by the way. And so, you know, I don't think we necessarily should think that George W. will be voted out, but I will say we have really good candidates in the Democratic side for 2004, so we shouldn't despair. And we will get the Senate in 2002.
I hate to be as controlling as a Bush family member, but we are out of time and we have to go, and I've already used up some of Andrew's time. So thank you all for listening. Tune in next week, Tuesday at 11, and thank you, my fabulous panel, for joining us. I'm